Last time we spoke about happiness and we distinguished between pleasure and happiness. We said pleasure was simply the stimulation of the senses and it accompanies excitement, emotional excitement, maybe laughing, dancing, that sort of thing also can happen. It is a disturbance of the mind, really. Happiness is different. Happiness is the result of the purity of mind. When the mind is free of these emotions, emotional agitations, these emotions which are all self-centered, when the mind is calm and tranquil, without any disturbance, that is the true happiness. And we also said that in order to be able to experience this kind of happiness, we have to learn to purify the mind. When the mind is purified, we begin to experience this happiness. When the mind is not purified, it is impure. That means full of emotional agitations. All the impurities of the mind are really the emotions. When the emotions are absent, the mind is calm and tranquil. So how can we purify the mind? Last time we said that when we speak about the mind, there are three parts of the mind. The emotional part, which is called chitta. The thinking, reasoning part, which is called mano. And the perceptual part, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, that is viññāna. So the Buddha used three words, citta, mano and viññāna. Viññāna refers to the perception, mano refers to the thinking, and citta refers to the emotion. Chitta is not just the emotion. When the emotions are absent and the mind is calm, that calmness is also chitta. So we can use a word like the mood or the temper or the temperament. Sometimes it is also called disposition. That is the chitta. The problem is what even modern psychologists like Sigmund Freud was talking about, the emotional part he called the id, and the thinking rational part he called the ego. He also referred to a thing called the conscience that makes us feel guilty when we do something wrong, that he called the superego. The important thing is that these parts of the mind come in conflict. There is an inner conflict and an outer conflict. The inner conflict is the conflict between our emotions and our reason, thinking. The outer conflict is the conflict between our emotions and the reality observed outside. This is what the Buddha called dukkha. Dukkha is the unhappiness that comes from this conflict between the emotions and reason and emotions and the reality outside. That is the dukkha. Because the reality outside is dependent on conditions. everything that happens in the world outside is dependent on conditions. Even what happens inside our mind is dependent on conditions. This dependency on conditions is what the Buddha called paticca samuppada, today translated as dependent origination. But this was a fact discovered by the scientists, and today in English it is called determinism. Determinism means that everything that occurs in the world, it occurs only due to the presence of the necessary conditions. Even like hurricanes or tornadoes or earthquakes, ancient people thought that was due to gods or spirits or devils. But the modern scientists know why it happens, because the necessary conditions are present and so it happens. Like a fire. A fire comes out only when the necessary conditions are present. So if everything is dependent on conditions, everything is impermanent. The impermanence comes from this dependency, which is also called contingency. Contingent means it is dependent on conditions. So contingency leads to the impermanence of everything in the world. Although things are impermanent, our desire is for permanence. Our desire comes in the form of desire for pleasure and also the hatred of pain. So all our life we are seeking pleasure and avoiding pain. Our whole life is that, seeking pleasure and avoiding pain. So if we seek pleasure and avoid pain, what we really want is permanent pleasure. Our desires are blind to reality. Our emotions are blind. These emotions are unrealistic because the emotion wants permanent pleasure. And therefore, naturally, it is disappointed, frustrated, and we become unhappy as a result. All the pleasures are impermanent. All the things that we become attached to. So this pleasure does another, these emotions, they do another thing, which is what is called personalizing. Personalizing means we begin to think this is mine. When we begin to desire something pleasant, we become attached to it and we begin to become possessive and we say, this is mine. That possessiveness is what leads to personalizing. Personalizing means to say, this is mine. And once we personalize, we want to own it forever. We don't want to give it up. If someone takes it away from us, we become unhappy as a result. And so, once we get something, we begin to protect this. Protection itself is a suffering. We do all kinds of things to protect what we have got. Even to get something, we have to work very hard. Sometimes we can get it, sometimes we can't get it. If it is some very expensive object and if we don't have the money to get it, then we can't get it. And even if we get it, then we have this problem of protecting. That is why the insurance companies earn a lot of money. Because we want to protect these things. So you see, this is the problem with our life. We are carried away by our emotions and we go and try to get things. Getting is also a suffering. Then once we have got it also, it's a suffering. And then we have to part from everything because everything is impermanent. Even our life is impermanent. We have to die. And when we die, we have to give up all those things. So these emotions are blind and producing unhappiness. When we think and reason out, we can see this. Although we can see it, still we go on according to the emotions. Why is that? When emotion and reason are in conflict, emotion always wins. That's the problem. We are carried away by emotions. We are not acting really rationally. Now, if we can act rationally and control the emotion, then we call that willpower. Now, some people think we are born with a free will, that we have the willpower to do whatever we like. But in fact, we are not able to do whatever we like because we are carried away by emotions. We are not always acting rationally. This is why the Buddha taught a way of doing this. To become a Buddha or to become an Arahant is to be able to gain full control over these emotions and to act rationally. This is the important thing to understand. So when we begin to purify our mind, there are two steps. First, of course, we have to be able to gain control over our behavior. Now, we said last time that we are organisms in an environment. An organism is like a machine. It works automatically based on the conditions necessary, the principle of determinism. So the first thing that happens is when light falls on the eye, we see. That is the perception part. Once we have seen, we begin to think about what we see. We interpret what we see. That is done by the thinking part, the mano. First, the perception part, which is the vijnana. Now once we have thought about it, interpreted, we can interpret that as something very pleasant or something as something unpleasant or as something dangerous. If we interpret it as something pleasant, then a desire arises for that. If we interpret it as something unpleasant, a hatred arises. If we interpret that as something dangerous, a fear arises. So the emotional arousal depends on how we interpret what we see, or hear, or smell, or taste, or touch, according to how we interpret. Now, according to the emotional arousal, then we begin to act. Because the emotion produces tension, and the tension is released in the action to obtain what we desire, or to get rid of what we hate, or to run away from what we fear. That is the action. So what we are trying to do is to stop this reaction. That's what the Buddha said. This whole reaction is the suffering, the unhappiness. So the way to stop the reaction is to first stop the behavior part, which is the action part. That stopping the action is called sila. What we call sila is stopping the action. Then the next step is to stop the emotional agitation, the emotional arousal, and calm the mind. When the mind is calm and tranquil in this way, that is what is called samadhi. We speak of two kinds of meditation, samatha and vipassana. Samatha is calming the mind, freeing the mind of emotional excitement. And the next step is to change the thinking part. It is the thinking part that produces the emotion. So we change the thinking part. That is the meaning of vipassana meditation. And when the vipassana advances, it's not only the thinking part that is observed and changed, even the perceptual part is observed. It is only when the perceptual part is observed that we call that awakening. We awaken from the dream of existence, because we are thinking that we exist, and that thought of existence comes from this reaction, from the perception and the conception, which is the thinking part. And in addition to that, the emotion comes up, and we begin to have emotional relationships with what we see as existing. And when we think in terms of existence, we are not only thinking of the existence of objects that we perceive, we also begin to think of the existence of myself, the self. So there is the objective existence of the external world and the things in the world, and the subjective existence of the self, and a relation develops between the self and the other. That relationship is an emotional relationship. all that has to disappear ultimately. And when that happens, we awaken from the dream. It is a dream. Although we think we are now not dreaming, we are awake. We are still dreaming. The human being becomes aware of the world because the human being has a more developed brain than these other animals. Other animals are also aware of the world to some extent because there is, with the senses, they can perceive in different ways. But the human being becomes aware of the world that is perceived, and not only that, begins to think about it and reason out and do all kinds of scientific experiments and discover the world, think of the world as objects. But that is not all. Even in spite of this understanding about the world, with all this modern scientific technology, what are we doing? Still being carried away by emotions. We make use of that knowledge to make weapons, nuclear weapons, to fight, kill people. So that knowledge becomes useless to ourselves and even to others. Not only useless, it becomes dangerous. If there is a nuclear war, the whole world will be destroyed. So you see, all that is because we are carried away by emotions. So it is only when we are able to stop this reaction that we awaken from this dream of existence. And this is what the Buddha did. It is only very recently that in the West, during the 16th and 17th centuries, in the history of the West, that period is called the Age of Enlightenment. And that is that period when science became powerful enough to discover so many things, and the ancient religious dogmas were given up by the educated people. But long before that, the Buddha discovered this law of determinism, which he called Paticca Samuppada. Now, in order to understand this properly, how to purify the mind, we have to understand that there are two kinds of meditation to do this. One is to what is called samatha meditation, which is purifying the mind. And the vipassana meditation, which is not only simply purifying the mind, but changing our way of thinking, because thinking is the starting point for the emotions. It's only when the thinking has been changed that a complete purity that can never be polluted. This is pollution is very important. Now people talk about environmental pollution, air pollution, water pollution, and so many things. But very few who talk about the mental pollution, the mind pollution. All the troubles in the world has started because of this pollution of the mind. So this is why it is very important to purify the mind. There are five kinds of impurities which the Buddha called the hindrances, nivarana, the desire for sensual pleasures. That means we are desiring pleasures and hating pain. This is what Freud also saw as the id, and the id being dominated, he said, by the pleasure principle, that going after pleasures. And this is what the Buddha spoke of in the first sermon called Dhammacakkappavattana Sutra, where he said, there are two extremes to be avoided. One is devotion to sensual pleasure, and the other is self-mortification, Atta Kilamatana Yoga, which means that we are trying to suppress these emotions. We cannot suppress the emotions. We have to eliminate the emotions. And we cannot eliminate the emotions without knowing how the emotion starts. How the Buddha showed the way. And this is why he pointed out a middle path, which is called the Noble Eightfold Path today, which I call the Sublime Eightfold Way. I don't use that word noble. This is Arya, the word Arya, Attangika Magga. Arya means not noble. It is a supernormal state. That's what Arya means. It's not the normal. The normal state is called the Puthujjana, the state of the common man or common folk. So we have to rise above the normal state to a supernormal state. That's why the Aryatthangika Magga, there are eight parts to it. The first is Sammaditti, which I call the harmonious perspective. Harmonious means it brings about harmony, which means freedom from conflict, because these emotions come in conflict with the reality and also our intelligence or thinking part. So the harmonious perspective will free the mind from this conflict. That's why it is called the harmonious perspective. Perspective because it is the way we see it. The same thing can be seen in different ways. So if you see it in one way, that is your perspective. If you see it in another way, that is another perspective. Just like when an artist or painter tries to draw a picture, the painter can draw it from one perspective, or the angle of vision. Now it's like that. We can look at life in two different ways, or maybe more than that. So the perspective is a special perspective that brings about harmony. You have heard about the story of the elephant and the blind men. When the blind men went and touched the elephant, one man touched the tail and thought, the elephant is like a broom. Another man touched the ear and thought, the elephant is like a fan. So like that, by touching various parts of the elephant, they began to describe it in different ways. But what happened was, there was conflict. What one person says is different from what the other person says. And they started fighting. Now this harmonious perspective is a perspective that doesn't create that conflict. That means we must see it from all angles. So the harmonious perspective is to see things from all angles so that we don't come in conflict. We don't take one angle and say, this is the truth. We see it from all angles. So we don't come in conflict. Now the important perspective that the Buddha pointed out was that everything is dependent on conditions and therefore everything is impermanent. And if everything is impermanent and our desire is for permanence, that means the reality that we observe is disappointing or frustrating our desires, and that creates unhappiness. That is the dukkha that creates unhappiness. And not only that, we also begin to realize we don't really own anything in the world. If everything is impermanent and creating unhappiness, it is not as we want. If it is not as we want, then it is not ours. When we say something is mine, that means we have power over it. If you say, this house belongs to you, that means you have power over the house. You can sell it if you like, or just give it free of charge to another person if you like. So, like that, you have certain powers. But if you can't change the impermanence of anything, even your own body, if you can't change the impermanence and still the impermanence makes you unhappy, like when you start growing old, you begin to feel unhappy about it. When you fall sick, you begin to feel unhappy about it. When you die, you begin to feel unhappy about it. That means it is causing unhappiness. It is not under your power. You can't do anything about it. And therefore, it is not yours. That ownership was actually an illusion created by the desire. So when we realize this, we become detached from everything. We give up our attachments. We stop personalizing. We depersonalize everything. When we have done that, we are free. That is the perspective. This is the harmonious perspective. And our unhappiness is seen not as the impermanence of things in the world. The unhappiness is our desire for permanence, which is unrealistic. And the cause of this unhappiness, therefore, is the desire, the emotion. The emotion is the cause. And therefore, the way to end it is to get rid of this emotion. And then there is a way to get rid of the emotion. And that way is this sublime eightfold way. And the first step is to understand this problem and its solution. It is the problem of existence. Because we think we are existing, that is the problem. And because we think we are existing, we also think that we are going to die. If we are existing, we can also see that we are going to die because everything is impermanent. Life is impermanent. But if we are really not existing, what happens? If we are not existing, how can we die? If we understand that we are not existing, then we are free from death. Because existence and death go together. Some people think that existence and death are opposites. They are not opposites. They are parts of what we think. Coming into being is called birth, and the ending is called death. It's simply one, it's like a wave that comes up and goes down. It's a coming and a going. It's a change. And when there is a change, if we can see that it is simply a changing process, can it be an existence? It is simply a change that is going on. So the important thing is, having understood this, and having understood that it is the emotion that is blind and causing the trouble, then the next step is to decide that we must give up this emotion, giving up everything. That is the second step, called the Samma Sankappa. Samma Sankappa. Sankappa really means a mental image, imagination, mental image. Now, imagination doesn't mean that it is not real. Everything that we call real is an image in the mind. So, what we have as a mental image here becomes our goal. Our goal is to give up our attachments and our desires, the emotions. And when the emotions are given up, our mind becomes calm and tranquil. And that calmness itself is the real happiness. So our goal becomes this calmness and tranquility of mind. And the calmness and tranquility of mind that can never be disturbed is what is called Nirvana, or Nibbana in Pali. Nirvana is the Sanskrit form. Now, this word Nirvana is even found in the dictionary, English dictionary. So it is well known, but not properly understood. Some people think Nirvana is some kind of heaven. Some others think it is some kind of mystical state.